So if you will, please, we're going to turn to the Word. It's going to be a short one this morning. I had anticipated that, but my notes may be a little bit longer this in anyhow. But this morning we're looking at the end, the last message of the three Advent messages. We have been, the prior 2 weeks, we've been looking at a star, a song, a Savior. These are all things that are part of Christmas. We're very familiar with these things. When we think of the star, we think of the star or whatever it was that was in the sky that the wise men saw as they looked in the sky, as they were doing what they did. They studied the skies. They studied the stars. And they saw something that told them a king has been born. And then they followed the star. It was miraculous in some way, but we don't really know what it was. As we said, it may have been the planets aligning in some way. It may have been a supernova. It may have just been something that God did in the sky for them to see. But whatever it was, when they saw it, they understood this means something. This is more than just, oh, isn't that a pretty bright star in the sky? And as we talked about this 2 weeks ago, we talked about see the star, but see Jesus who says, I am the bright and morning star. In other places, it says the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. Upon them, a light has dawned. And it talks about Jesus being the light. And so as we looked at that, we talked about seeing the star. Last week, we talked about the song. And when we think about songs, we always think of the song that the angels sang over the shepherds in the field. And as we talked about this last week, we talked about why would the shepherds get the privilege of seeing angels in the sky, of hearing the announcement probably from Gabriel, one of the main angels. We don't know for sure, but probably Gabriel. Why? Because God speaks to everyone. And the song that they sing is peace on earth, goodwill to men, on whom his favor rests. And what we talked about last week was hear not just the song of the angels, but the Bible says that God sings over us with love. So many people think of God as angry or uninterested or remote or unloving or uncaring. And God has shown us through Jesus and through his word that that's so far from the truth. He sings over us with love. And we should open our ears. We need to open our ears and hear the song of love that God sings over you. And it's a song of favor. It's a song of favor. This morning, we're going to talk about a Savior. And the title this morning is Look for the Savior. And we're going to talk about Jesus this morning. So we're going to be in Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn there. But we're going to look very quickly this morning at this part of the story. Let me read the scriptures and then we will talk about them. So from Luke chapter 2, 21 through 22, this takes place 8 days after Jesus is born. This takes place probably in Bethlehem still. Probably they're no longer in a manger. Jesus probably has a better bed to sleep in now, but they're in Bethlehem and they are going to travel from Bethlehem to Jerusalem to the temple. It's about 6 miles between Bethlehem and Jerusalem. And so this is where we pick up the story this morning, but it's still part of the Christmas story. Okay, here we go. 8 days later, when the baby was circumcised, he was named Jesus, the name given him by the angel even before he was conceived. Pause there just a minute. I was thinking about this as I was preparing this week, and I always remember a story that Mom and Dad, Mom especially, told me from Singapore. You know that I grew up in Singapore. And in the church, which was mostly Chinese, Cantonese and English speaking, there was an old Chinese granny in the church. And all of the younger wives were a little bit afraid of her. She was the boss. And whenever a young woman got pregnant in the church and gave birth, this granny always named the babies. Always. didn't matter what family they're from or whatever, she would pronounce the name of the baby. So then my mom got pregnant, right? I was already born. So my mom got pregnant, and this granny had already announced, yes, it's going to be a son, and it was. It was my brother. He was born 6 years after I was. And I've told you before, mom hearing the two elderly Chinese women outside the window speaking in Cantonese one day, and they were talking because I have a sister, right? Sister who's older, and then I was born. And then no other child for quite a long time, and no boys. So, you know, back in Singapore in those days, no boys was really bad. What was wrong? And so mom heard these two elderly Chinese women talking outside the window in Cantonese. Wow, you know, the way that Pastor Nolan loves those two girls, it's almost like they were boys. And the other one said, yes, it must be the love of Jesus. So, but our parents loved all of us equally, whatever our gender. But anyhow, this elderly granny went up to mom and announced it will be a boy. Of course, mom and dad already felt that it would be a boy. And then the granny announced, and his name will be Abraham. So those of you who know my brother know that his name is not Abraham, right? And so the time came, sure enough, it was a boy. It was my brother. And mom, being Western and not Chinese, brought him to church 3 days after he was born. You know, they came right out. She had him on the front row, same as all of us. And she came into church holding my brother happily 3 days after he was born. And the granny came up and looked at him and said, how's little Abraham? And my mother said, little Philip is just fine. So Philip was his name. But in this case, as we look at this, the name was given him by the angel. It wasn't that the angel was so great and so powerful, but it was the messenger angel, right? It was the angel who announced. Remember, that was Gabriel. Definitely was Gabriel. And Gabriel came from heaven, from God, with the message, his name will be Jesus. And God gave the name to this little boy that was to be born for a very, very special reason. Why? Because he will save his people from their sin. What is the name? So Jesus would be, what is the Old Testament name for Jesus? There's a real famous person in the Old Testament. Who? Joshua, okay, same name. So this morning as we look around, we have, there's one Joshua right there. There's another Joshua back from the U.S., from Texas, right? Back from Texas. And seems like didn't we have another Joshua at some point? We had two more Joshuas, right? We had a bunch of Joshuas in here. But God said he will be named Joshua, which means, what does it mean? Joshua, what does your name mean? God with us. A little bit more. Savior or deliverer, okay? So God said this will be his name. I was doing a little bit of reading. I thought it was kind of interesting. Those of you who are traditionally, that's okay, Josh. He knows who he is in Christ, even if he's not sure about his name. It's okay. So God says his name. God sends the angel and says his name will be Jesus. Why? Because he will save his people from their sin. I'm looking at all of you this morning, and I'm wondering, when you were named, were you named in a special way, for a special reason? In the U.S., a few of us here are from the U.S., not many of us. Usually when a couple knows that they're pregnant, they start looking up names right then, right? And they have a whole list of names. It could be this or this or this. When my parents named me, so those of you who don't know me, my first name is Jennifer. But as you can tell, I'm a lot older than most of you. And when my parents announced my name to my family, they had never heard the name Jennifer before. And Jennifer is one of the most common names in the world, it has been. And they asked mom and dad, did you make up that name? So they didn't, but they named me Jennifer. And but we look at this, and I want you to think about it, because this is a very, we have actually a really natural scene here. So they named him Jesus 8 days later. That was the Jewish custom. They would not announce the name when a child was born. It would be on the 8th day, if it was a boy, when he was circumcised. So I was looking up Chinese custom, and I found out some things that I knew a little bit about. When do Chinese normally name their children? Traditionally. When do you announce it? Y'all aren't even Chinese. Day three. Did you know that? In Singapore, Chinese babies are named on day three. And sometimes before day three, they will even make up a fake name for the baby just to throw off, you know, any ill will or anything like that, which is weird. But anyhow, so they give him the name Jesus, they announce the name, and then look with me at verse 22. Then it was time for their purification offering as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So his parents took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. We're not, anybody Jewish here? We've got some visitors here today. I don't think anyone here's Jewish, right? But we read this, and this seems a little bit unusual to us. But what we're seeing here is actually just a Jewish picture. Luke, who wrote this, was not Jewish, by the way. He is the only, as far as we know, he's the only writer of the New Testament who's not Jewish. And he's writing for someone who is also not Jewish. So he explains this scene, but it's a very, very Jewish scene. Not a Chinese scene, not an American scene. But they take him to the temple. It was time for the purification offering. Okay, here's another question. Who goes with him? Mary and Joseph and the baby. So Jocelyn and Catherine, you're the youngest, you're the newest moms in the group, right? Traditionally, after the child is born, how long do you stay home without going out, without showing the baby, without washing your hair, without doing those things? Traditionally, how long?
One month.
Did you all know that? Yes, you did. Some of you did. 1 month. And then at the 1 month birthday, manyue, right? I think that's what it's called, manyue. Then you go. They wash their hair. They go out. The baby is presented. They eat eggs that are colored red. But they were not Chinese. They were Jewish. And so Mary goes with Joseph on day 8 to the temple. Think about this just a minute. I don't know how hard it was for you to get here this morning, but imagine day 8. Imagine either walking or riding a donkey for 6 miles to Jerusalem from Bethlehem. I think it must have been kind of tough, don't you think so? Moms, how many of you would take your 8-day-old baby 6 miles on a donkey at 8 days? You wouldn't do it, would you? I don't think we would. Michelle says, I'm not Chinese, I'm Filipino, and I definitely wouldn't do it. But we have a picture here of a Jewish baby, and I want a Jewish scene, and I want you to think about this. You think, why are you talking about this so much? Because we have a picture here of something that looks very natural. There doesn't seem to be anything special here as we look at this, right? It just seems like a Jewish cultural scene. But they take him as required by the law of Moses after the birth of a child. So they take him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. And then here's what the law of the Lord says. If the first child's a boy, he must be dedicated to the Lord. So they offered the sacrifice required in the law of the Lord, either a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. So I want you to see something else this morning, even though no one here is Jewish. What I want you to see is, if you look at this, you can find out something that you may not have known before about Joseph and Mary and Jesus. The law of Moses did not at first say 2 birds. The law of Moses said a lamb is the offering that's given. But if you were poor, especially if the mom was poor, that's actually what the law meant. If the mother was poor, you could give 2 pigeons. Or 2 turtle doves. So do you know what we find out when we read just this one verse? We find out that the family into which Jesus was born was a poor family, not a privileged family, not a rich family. The nation and the people into which Jesus was born, they were not even free people. They were under Rome. They could not decide their own fates. They could not choose their lives for themselves. And yet God chose his son Jesus to come into such a situation, which makes me think about God in a particular way, which makes me think, you know what? God's not so far off. God's not so distant. God's not so uncaring about regular people that God would send his own son into such a situation. We sometimes tell people, you don't understand my life. You don't understand what I'm going through. If you knew what my life was like. And what we see when we see this picture is that God chose for Jesus to come and live a life so that he would understand our lives and he would live as we live. And so what I want you to see when we look at this is, you know, sometimes we look at movies. How's my time? I have 3 minutes. I have 5 minutes. We sometimes look at movies, and in movies, sometimes there are two things happening at the same time, right? And they cut back and forth between the two scenes. What I want you to see this morning is that this is the same type of story. This is the same as movies that we see sometimes. Here's this picture, and there seems nothing miraculous, right? They're just following the law. They're just doing what Jews have to do. It's a boy. On the eighth day, we have to go to the temple. We announce his name, Jesus. We give an offering, and then we go home again. That's life. That's just the way it is. But I want us to see that because God is part of our lives, there's another part to this story. And there's a supernatural part to this story. Here's the supernatural part, okay? So on one side, here Joseph and Mary with their baby. Jesus, I am sure, cried on the way to Jerusalem. I'm sure he did. He wasn't shining or glowing. He was not a perfect baby like Micah and Eunice, no doubt, are. Wasn't a perfect baby. He cried. I don't know what they use for diapers, but on a 6-mile journey, he probably had to take care of business on the way. It was just a baby. There's the natural part. Here's the supernatural part. At that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. So I want you to see this morning, in just the 2 or 3 minutes that we have left, that along with this natural story is a supernatural story. And here's the supernatural story. There's an old man. Is he important? I don't know. He's just an old man. We only see him here. We never see him again. Is he rich? I don't think so. Is he famous? I don't think so. He's just an old man living in Jerusalem. But it says that he was righteous and devout. That means he wasn't a hypocrite. That means he loved God. He loved the word. And he was eagerly waiting for the consolation of Israel. What does this word mean, consolation? It simply means comfort. And earlier when we read in Isaiah 40, comfort my people, it's the promise of God. It's the promise of God that one day he will bring his comfort and he will send his deliverer. And he did that in Jesus. When Jesus came and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he said, I've come to comfort those who mourn. For some of you this morning, we were singing and having a great time. But for some of you, Christmas is not a great time. Some of you have had a tough year. Some of you this Christmas will not have people to celebrate Christmas with that you've had in the past. And it's not so happy for you. Perhaps it's a sadder time. Do you know that more people commit suicide around Christmas time than at any other time in the whole year? Why? Because here everything is supposed to be great, but things aren't great. And here's Simeon waiting for the consolation, waiting for the comfort of Israel. It's in his heart. And I want you to see the supernatural part this morning. Here's a man that has been promised by God. Look at it. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. In other words, God had put a promise in his heart. I'm going to do something. Your life is not over. There is still hope ahead of you. There is still something for you to look forward to. All is not over. All is not lost. All is not gone. This is the supernatural part. And I want you to see this morning, brothers and sisters, and friends that are here this morning. Some of you just came this morning. Oh, I'm just going to come to church because it's Christmas. And it just seems like this is what I'll do. Somebody invited me. But what I want you to know is there's a supernatural part to this, because God is part of our lives. And if we will hear, God speaks things to us. And he puts promises in our hearts. And he puts expectations in our hearts. And so here's this old Simeon. I don't know how old he was, but he was old. And God had put in his heart, you're going to see the consolation of Israel. The Messiah is going to come before you die. And that he held it in his heart. Has God put something in your heart? Do you have a hope or an expectation in your heart? I have found that God always meets the expectation that he puts in our hearts. God always keeps the promise that he makes to us. And so here's Simeon. That day, the Spirit led him to the temple. Here's the supernatural part. What is the Messiah going to look like? I don't know. What's the consolation of Israel going to look like? I don't know. Is he going to be dressed like a warrior? Is he going to be a king? Is he going to be a grown man? I don't know. He's the Messiah. He's going to come. And the Spirit tells him, the Holy Spirit says, today, go to the temple. How many people were in the temple? Hundreds of people were in the temple. Not just one or two, hundreds. There were animals going in, and there were people there. It was loud. It was noisy. Were there other babies in the temple? There were other babies in the temple too. And Simeon goes to the temple that day because the Spirit says, go to the temple that day. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms. Oh my goodness, that wouldn't happen today, right? Think about it. Make it 21st century. Moms and dads, you have your eight-day-old child. You're walking around and up comes an old man and grabs your baby, right? Somebody would get hurt today, right? But in those days, it was different. And Simeon comes up. Imagine that. How did he know that this was the Messiah? How did he know that it was the consolation of Israel? He knew because the Holy Spirit led him and to opened his eyes, and he was looking for the Savior. That's why I titled this, Look for the Savior. Because if you will look for what God has for you in your life, he will show you things that you never could imagine. He will open doors that you didn't even know were doors. He will bring things to your life and lead you in ways that it never even crossed your mind, but there was a hope in your heart. There was an expectation in your heart. God, you're a good God. God, will you do this? And Simeon sees him. There was no halo, but he knows this is the consolation of Israel. This is the Messiah. This is the one I've been waiting for. And he takes him up in his arms, and then he says, he prays and praises the Lord. Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you've promised. For I've seen your salvation, which you've prepared for all people. It's this beautiful picture. Honestly, folks, it's a baby, 8 years old. But Simeon, because the Lord has opened his eyes and he's looking for the Savior, he looks at an eight-day-old baby that maybe is crying. I don't know. Maybe is squalling, is maybe making a racket. We don't know. And he says, it's the one the Lord has sent. And he says, now my life is over. Some of you have seen that movie with Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson, right? The Bucket List, right? Where they go around the world doing all of these different things. He ticked off his bucket list, right? I'm waiting for the consolation of Israel. I'm waiting for the Lord's Messiah. Done. Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace. And when the Lord fulfills his promises, his hopes, his word in our lives, we have peace. That's when we have peace. It comes from God. And he says, I've seen your salvation. Okay, here's the part for you this morning, because you're not Jewish, and for me, because I'm not Jewish either, which you have prepared for all people. He's a light to reveal God to the Gentiles, and he's the glory of your people Israel. Here's this Simeon. He was a Jewish. He was probably a good Pharisee. He probably knew the law very well. And instead of saying, oh, Gentiles, they're horrible people, he says, God, your salvation, your promise, your hope is for everyone, not just for a chosen few, not just for a few. And the promise of the Lord this morning, and the consolation of the Lord this morning, and the peace of God this morning, and the favor of God this morning is for you. And so I encourage you to open your eyes, to look for the Savior. Let the Lord lead you. Our lives are so much like this. We go about our business, right? I do my thing. I go to work. I come home. I cook. I clean. I do all of these things. And that's part of our lives. But then there's the supernatural part, because God is with us and God is Emmanuel. And just as we go about the natural part, there's the supernatural part. Look for the Savior. Look for the Savior at this time, in this new year that's coming. Let me close in prayer for us this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that you included this part of the Christmas story for us. God, we're a lot like Joseph and Mary, just going about our business and doing what we do. But Lord, I pray that we would hear your voice and we would feel the prompting of your Spirit, your Holy Spirit, because you've loved us and you do love us now, and you have given us a Savior, Jesus. May we look for the Savior, and may we see your work. May we hear your voice. May we hear the song that you sing over us, a song of favor, and may we know your love. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Whew. That was fast, wasn't it? Moses is coming. Just as we close, hang on just a minute. We're not quite finished yet. We're not finished yet. We're not quite finished yet. Okay. Moses, there we go.
Just a quick announcement to make sure that everyone gets to the hotel safely and get to the right place. This is a quick announcement anyway. The first thing is the buses. Pastor Jennifer already showed in the slide the several buses that can be taken. We have about three buses. We have three buses.
Hannah, would you put up the
announcements
again?
Bus 7, 81C, and 271. You have different prizes. The other one is you can go by MTR. There is a flyer that has already been issued. I'm sure most of us have. If you don't have it, if you have your phone, you can just take a photo, a picture of this to easily get there. The other alternative is four or five people can take a taxi, and it will cost about the same, almost the same. So we ask that you promptly move announcement so that we can try to get to the hotel as quickly as possible. We advise that you wait. Previously, we asked that when you get to when we have short functions, you get there, a table is full, you just pray and eat. But this time, we're asking that everybody wait. When we get there, we all pray as a group and then start our buffet. There will be carols, games, and door prizes at the hotel. Further details will be provided by the board and other members of the church. The most important thing, if you've not yet paid, please look for our sister Hannah. Where is Hannah? Hannah. Can you just stand up? Where is she? Oh, yeah. She's here. Please wait until at the end of the at the end of the meal. Please don't interrupt her when she's enjoying her meal or disturb the atmosphere so that she can enjoy her food as well. So the last thing is, to us a child is born, go tell it to the jungle, the concrete jungle of Hong Kong. Merry Christmas to you all. God bless you.